Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, we are two-thirds of the way through The Raven Scholar, stopping at chapter 47 for today. Yep. I have our warm-up today.
Okay. Dan. Okay, Luke.
This is going to be something that you're going to love. I think this has got Dan written all over it.
Oh, I love it. Hit me with it, Luke.
And it's a thing that you know, when like you're out in public in maybe like a store or someone else, and people will try to like sell you something, but they won't like come out and start with that they're trying to sell you something, but you know.
Like they'll ask you like, hey, have you ever had this problem? Or like, hey.
It'll be like they are like, it's like two dudes in a what is clearly a uniform, but not like an obvious uniform, but like they're together doing something.
And they're like, hey, have you ever read this book? It's about Jesus Christ coming to America. And you're like, no.
That's one. Or they're just like, hey, can I ask you a quick question or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I am no longer pretending to be polite
for these. Okay. This is right up my alley, actually.
It is. Yes. This is a big Dan move. Because like they are relying on the social pressure of me being like, obviously you could ask me a question.
Yes.
Or whatever it's going to be.
Yes, Luke.
But like, I know that they just want me to buy something.
Hell yeah.
And they know that I know that.
Yep.
And so like, we don't have to do this charade anymore.
No.
So like when people do that, I just say no and keep going.
Hell yeah.
I'm all in on that. Just like in all of these situations, you know, even if the, like, I've been in a lot where also, this is less of the like official things.
Yeah.
But sometimes in like very touristy areas.
Yeah.
There'll be people doing something similar, but it'll be like, they'll try to be even more subtle.
Yeah.
Where they'll be like, oh, hey, I like that shirt. And then they're like clearly about to start a conversation with me.
Oh, God.
No. Brushing by you. Absolutely.
Here's, okay, Luke. I love this, and I think that this is so good, but I think you're not taking it far enough.
Okay.
Here's the Dan move for this one. I'm angry about the fact that they have weaponized normal social interaction to the point where anybody says anything to you in public and you're like, fuck off, I'm not buying it. And I think that they need to get more of an angry response. Like, I think they need to get a, like, fuck you, go home. I think they need to get a, I hate you for doing this. I think they need to get a, I think when they ask you if they can ask you a question, I think you need to say, only if I can ask you one first. And if they say yes, you say, how dare you?
I don't disagree with you.
Because
the problem is with this is, like, I just don't want to be involved. Because I know that whatever, like, I'm not going to change what they're doing.
Yeah. Luke.
So it's like, no.
Oh, my gosh. Luke, you know what the move is?
What?
You find two groups of them, and you bring them together. You say, oh, my gosh, these guys over here would love to talk to you about this, actually. You just pit them against each other. And here's how you make it interesting. Here's how you have a fun afternoon, Luke. Here's how you make it interesting. You say to them, whoever gets the other group to buy something, I'll buy double.
Ooh. Can they exploit that? I feel like they could exploit that.
How?
If they work together.
You're saying if they split the bonus or whatever?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You say, this is only... You can't cheat. You tell them they can't cheat at the very beginning. Because you're witnessing the interaction.
Oh, okay.
You're watching it happen.
You tell them that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying, okay, only rule is you can't cheat. And you have to try and get whoever buys more, I'll double it. Or whoever sells more, I'll buy more. I'll do it. You get a little competition going on.
Okay.
That's called business. And then they're not bothering anyone else, right? They're bothering each other.
And then, Dan, here's the twist.
Yep.
when one of them inevitably wins and the other buys something, you just leave.
Exactly.
You don't actually buy double.
Exactly, Luke. You fuck with them.
Okay.
Because look, they're going to play on the social dynamic of like just being able to say hello to people in public. I'm going to play on the social dynamic that I can lie to you. Lying.
Again, as we've said, lying is OP.
It's so OP. Yeah. So just lie to them. Just be like, or here's another thing you could do, Luke. You could be like, oh my gosh, I would love to hear more about this, but I left my wallet in my room. Let me go get it. Just wait right here. I'll be right back. And then you just leave. Because I feel like you have to do something for your fellow citizen out there who's just like, maybe they're in a nice mood and they're just walking around feeling really friendly. And then they just get battered down by these winds of commercialism that are like, God, I just want to talk to a person that's not a salesperson. Like, I just want to.
Well, it's terrible because, like, now I approach any stranger interaction with suspicion.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why this is so infuriating to me and why I would respond to these people with a little bit of anger. I would be responding to them with a little bit of social pressure to stop doing what they're doing because it's annoying.
The problem you run into, because I don't want to, like, there are people that are out there doing, like, signing petitions for good causes.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit more obvious about it because they'll have, like, a big-ass clipboard.
Yeah, if you see the clipboard,
and, like, aesthetically, aesthetically, I'm like, okay, you're more... you're not the same person as the one that I'm about to yell at when they do this. So we're not casting too wide of a net in this critique.
No. It's the people trying to sell you shit. It's the people trying to do a live advertisement to you out in public.
Yeah.
Go away. You know what you should just say
folks,
to them?
Listen, you don't have to be polite.
No.
If they're going to weaponize your politeness, just no and walk by.
Here's what you do. You say skip.
You say skip.
You just say skip. Okay. I'm going to skip this ad. Skip.
That could work.
Hit it with a skip button. Anyway, Luke.
Anyway, that's what I've been doing. I thought that would be right up Dan's alley.
It's right up my alley, Luke. I loved it.
I do appreciate that. Yes, it was not quite at Dan level because you would add a spite move to it.
Yeah, you have to.
So we'll work on that for next time.
Yeah. I'll be curious to hear some tactics in the future.
Give us your tactics, folks, listeners. Yeah.
Anything that works that you think would work that would really get them. Nothing illegal, please. But you know,
do the little handshake with the shocker on.
No, Luke. You do the handshake where you like push your hair back. You know.
Oh, that's nice.
That really gets
got him. That really gets him. Okay.
I think that's good, actually. I think the embarrassing moves are the ones to do. So
they would be so embarrassed.
You hit him with a too slow.
It's been a while since I've been hit with a too slow.
It'll get you. It'll get you real good. Speaking of getting you real good, Luke, should we talk about the Raven Scholar?
Let's talk Raven Scholar. Mm-hmm. So again, we're 2/3 of the way through up to chapter 47. We started to see some of these challenges.
Yeah, Luke, are we not going to revel in my called shot? Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You kidding me right now?
You want to start with that?
You want to
start with the called shot? I thought you would want to build up to the called shot.
Luke, it was like a perfectly called shot.
It was a very called shot.
Honestly, it makes me a little angry because I had more as I was reading. I was like building more and more evidence. And then it was just right. And I was like, fuck, these aren't supposed to be right. They're supposed to give me something to talk about for the whole series or the book.
Well, also, it was kind of revealed, unless there's going to be a crisscross later. Yeah. But it was revealed earlier in the book.
It was.
Than I would have expected.
It was.
Right. And
it
just
was.
To be clear, the called shot, right,
yeah.
is... that the emperor is the one that arranged for this murder.
Yes. Can I also just give a piece of evidence, please, that I was like picking up on that was going to go with this theory before it just got totally blown open?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Luke, there's a killer on the loose, right?
Uh-huh.
And for like within the fiction, they don't know who it is, right?
Right.
They suspect it's one of the kids. It's one of the contenders. But they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, what is the Fox trial?
So, okay, so the Fox trial is to be nice to each other, is actually what it is.
Right, but what do they do in the Fox trial? They send a bunch of kids into a dark tunnel with nobody watching. And they're like, right. Eh, it'll be fine. That's how I knew the Emperor was in on it. Because, like, there's a murderer on the loose. You're not going to send these people in pairs into a dark tunnel to do anything. Like, you can't right. do that unless you know, unless you're like, no, it's safe. Trust me, I know. They're going to be fine. Like, the danger is with me. That's why it's okay that I can send them into this dark tunnel.
I see. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Because the Emperor knows who the killer is, Luke.
Well, it feels to me like none of them... like, all of the contestants, or contenders, I think is what they call them,
mm-hmm.
are, like, don't seem to be that concerned about it.
Right.
Right? But it's like, one of us was just murdered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go in. I'll go in with you.
You? Yeah, all right, fine. Let's do it. Is it going to be dark in there? Oh, it's going to be dark. Well, just scream.
Yeah.
I'll scream.
So, yes, I'm very impressed. You got the called shot.
Yeah. Congrats. I will say, Luke, I have a theory that we're going to get to later. But I do have a theory for an additional twist that I think is going to happen.
Okay. You did have to add something on because... We got to keep that going.
Yeah. So I've got one a little bit later.
Okay.
And I do want to get back to this twist that we learned about with the Emperor. But I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I had to revel in my called shot. But before then, before you want to talk about the trials, Luke, before we get to the trials,
mm-hmm.
Kane has this moment where he eats a bunch of soup and seemingly almost dies. Maybe he eats the soup. And it's revealed what's special about the visitors with this soup. Their food is poison?
They are the only ones that can eat it. Yeah, yeah.
Always. Always? Every meal it's poison? You have to have it every meal or else what? Will you die if you don't have the poison in every meal? Because if that's the case, huge problem.
I kind of forget what...
Okay.
What all do we know about this?
So here's how they explain it. They say the visitors are hated. Nobody likes the visitors. So they give them this like additive for their food from like a very young age. They train them to use it because it negates all other poisons and things like that. But the problem is the thing itself is poisonous unless you're like you've built up a tolerance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's unclear to me if they have to eat it in every meal. And I don't think, it doesn't sound like they do. It sounds like you build up a tolerance to it and then you just like use it as like a way to keep your food from killing you.
Yeah, I guess you only really use it when, you need to ensure that your food has not been poisoned.
And like I get maybe there is some reason to suspect here he could be poisoned. Like there, I guess there was just a murder on the island.
Yeah.
But like, come on, bud. Come on. You can't. You put a little. Okay. I get that he's telling Kane that he thought it was clear. Like he had a guard by the thing and all that. But like, put a little sign next to it or something.
Yeah.
Or carry the poison with you. Here's an idea. Maybe you add it at the end, like a little salt shaker or something.
No, that's the obvious thing because like let's talk a little bit more in detail about this.
Yeah.
So if the idea is to prevent you from getting poisoned.
Yes.
From something else.
You have to
add this
yes.
to anything that you would ingest that could poison you, which is like including like water.
You're so right.
Or any drinks or anything. So you absolutely have to be carrying it around at all times.
You're right. Why is he trusting someone else to put in his magical anti-poison into his suit?
Are you sure that the reason is to prevent poison?
100%, Luke. That's how it's written in the book. I remember thinking it was crazy.
Why are you... How could the solution possibly be to have someone else prepare it with that? That's insane.
Yeah, Luke, you know what? I haven't thought about this angle. You're right.
You absolutely have to add it.
Well, Luke, maybe he did, but then he had to go to the bathroom really bad, and he was like, I'll just put a napkin over the top.
Okay. And then you have to add it. Well, do you have to add it again? Probably not. It's tough. It's a tough life, honestly. Anytime you're taking some water. Man.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know about these visitors. I think give it a rest, guys. Come on.
Guys, just get poisoned. Like, if I'm one of these guys, it's like, all right. If they get me, they get me. You know?
Fair play, I say. Fair play.
Hopefully the spice tastes good.
It doesn't, though, because Kane is complaining about how horrible it tastes.
I know. Being a dragon sounds bad, if I'm honest.
The magic isn't even that good.
That's the first time I've ever said those words together.
And it'll be the last time, Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, the magic's not even that good. I don't know. Mm. At least so far that I've seen.
Luke, do we want to talk about the trials? Because we're getting into trials.
So let's talk a little bit about the trials. I want to start with the fox one.
Yep.
And I actually want to start with Worthy, who does end up winning, actually, but unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And he initially says he's going to sit out this trial.
Yep.
And the reason is because you have to go into the tomb and like his father?
This is uncle, because his uncle was the one who was protecting the emperor and died.
Okay, so his uncle is like buried there and he doesn't, and this is like a respect thing.
Yes.
That's so stupid. Are we like, you like, are people not realizing that this is the competition to become the emperor of the most powerful nation, and your emperor for like 24 years? Is it like, are people forgetting this is not just like you're the Super Bowl champion this year?
Yeah. Like, this is going to have huge consequences.
The amount of resources that would go into making someone win this competition are insane, I would have to think.
Yeah.
Because the amount of influence that I'm not going to do this because it would be disrespectful to my uncle. First of all, it wouldn't, I don't think.
Right.
Be disrespectful.
Right.
Right.
Well, and everyone else is going to be running around in there like playing grab ass. Like, you might as well get in on it. You could be respectful while you're doing it, but you know, everybody else is already running around in there. They're all playing laser tag on your uncle's corpse. You can at least go in and be like, sorry, uncle. Now I'm going to win this for you.
Yeah.
But Luke, this is where I don't think you realize that Worthy is playing the long game.
Okay.
Luke, how many... You're right. There is a ton of resources and preparation put into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of these trials have been lateral thinking exercises already?
Oh, a lot.
A lot. So Worthy is like, I don't think that's actually the trial. But he has to figure out a way to not tip off the other contestants. Because if they catch on, they're going to be like, oh, maybe I should also figure out an alternative solution to this.
Right.
So he comes up with the most plausible explanation for why he wouldn't want to go down in there.
Okay.
So he is intentionally like, yes, it's a bad answer. It's a bad reason. And I would be very suspicious if I was one of the other contestants or contenders. But I think he's being clever about it.
Okay, sure. That'd be good. Were there any like I forget how Nima figures out what the idea is. There's not really a good hint, right?
No, I actually went back and reread it because I was like, oh, I got to figure out the little clue that the Fox Abbot gives for this. None. And
yeah,
Nima doesn't really know, I don't think. I think Nima is aware that there's something going on.
Yeah.
But is not aware like what the actual trial is. She just like, because if she knew what the trial was, she's not going in there. Like, she doesn't need to go in.
I thought that she had like guessed what it was, but based off of like nothing.
I don't know if maybe, but it didn't seem to me like she knew like exactly what it was. It seemed like she just knew there was something to it and was just kind of being Nima. Just decided like, well, I'm just going to act natural and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. So this one's funny because, yeah, there was like not really any hints as to what the real trial was.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really like you couldn't really cheat or not cheat, but like you just have to like it actually makes me appreciate it a little bit better because the idea is that they're assessing who is like going to be nice to each other.
Yeah.
Right. Which is kind of not Fox-like, I think, but setting that aside, like actually is probably the best way to do it because if you find a way to give them a hint, then you don't know if they're actually being nice mm-hmm. or if they're just doing it to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. Look, exactly. It's a good test, I think.
It's a good test.
Well executed.
Yeah. What do you think about the foxes, by the way? This is kind of an aside.
I love them.
They're just like
I love the vibe
nature.
I love them.
Okay. Yeah. I love reading about them.
Yeah.
I think that'd be very exhausting in practice.
To be one of them or to work with them?
Well, yes, to be one of them, but also to live with one of or to like be around them.
I think being around them would suck. I think being around them would be horrible.
Like, I just want a day where things are normal.
Yeah.
Stop trying to play pranks. it's enough.
It's rude. Okay.
But I do love reading about them.
Yeah. They sound very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few too many orgies, I think, for my taste. It sounds like they have a lot of orgies.
A few too many for your taste. Okay.
A few too many for me. Just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Of all of them. Maybe there's multiple orgies happening at once. Maybe the monkeys have orgies too, but it just it feels like we hear about orgies a lot with the foxes.
We are. Yeah. That's true. Mm.
But also, Luke, we have the ox trial that we get here at the end.
Yeah.
Which is also a lateral sort of a lateral thinking task.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like how many have we had so far? Four? That's four?
Okay, so ox task and then
tiger.
What was the tiger one?
Tiger was they had to like they had different roles and they had to try and rise or fall.
Oh yeah.
And that determined their rank. Which that one
I didn't really like, we didn't really get enough details.
Yeah.
To how that worked.
Maybe
right?
Nima wasn't there. So they were like, God, the actual task was something completely different, but nobody figured it out. So we have to go with the the original one. Because you guys just didn't do the thing we thought you would do.
Right. Yeah. I could see that.
And then there was the Raven task, which was just like an exam.
The exam. Yeah, yeah.
Come
which
on.
Which actually I kind of appreciate. I know it's lame.
Yeah.
But it is, first of all, it is in character. It's actually like, this is actually,
yeah.
Well,
I honestly wish that there had been a little bit of like cheating going on, like that if Kane had been able to like figure out a way to spy answers off of somebody else or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a little bit of trickery going on.
Well, they clearly made the test too easy.
Yeah.
Because they get like perfect scores.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Give me a break with this.
Gotta have a bell curve, guys. You can't have perfect scores.
Just make it harder. What are you talking about? Where's my essay that I can give a subjective grade to?
Yes, we need that. Sure, you have a rubric, but like, come on. You're fudging that rubric.
You're really doing it on vibes.
But yeah, Luke, 50% of the trials thus far have been sort of like lateral thinking exercises.
Yeah.
We've got Darrow over here training everybody. They've all got to know there's a trick to it.
Always.
You got to always a trick be looking to it. For the trick.
Yeah. Especially for the foxes one.
Yeah. The ox.
You guys are taking this seriously? The fox guys, you're going to go in and just like be like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Crazy.
Yeah. Especially for them. That's ridiculous.
The ox I can see.
Yeah. That one makes sense why you would take them at their word. They feel very earnest.
Yeah. The ox one, I would honestly be kind of annoyed. Be like, dude, like, what are you testing? Stupid.
Yeah.
But let's see. Okay, so do you have anything more to say about the trials?
No.
Okay. I want to take us kind of out to a different thing right now, because we hear about Yasila, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Her backstory.
Yes, we need to talk about that.
And I mean, one thing that I just have is that she is so insane and like, I don't know if like badass is the right term.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it always necessarily is what I want to call it.
Yeah.
But incredible stuff coming from Yasila.
Luke, give me some examples here, because I agree with you, and I also agree with you that I don't think I would call it badass, because there's something about it that's not quite like badass. Like, it's not quite, I feel like it's not quite cool in a way that's 100% good all the time. Like, sometimes it feels sort of like bad in her vibe.
Well, because she has kind of adopted the like dragon thing of being like very heartless.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the things she does, even though she has kids, are like, it's like, ah, you're kind of not being a great, I don't think this is great parenting, actually. Like,
Ruko gets his arm broke and she's like, talk shit, get hit, kid.
Yeah, yeah. But let's see. Okay, so what are the other things that she does? So she is like the only person to be to have like been on the dragon island or whatever it's called and escape.
Yeah.
Or, like, no one has even really tried to escape before, but she like finds a way to both escape and ensure that like they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
She learns some of their magic, which she also kind of I think she's talking to the stranger maybe when she says this, that like she did the is it Bruce Lee's quote about fearing the man that's done the same kick 1,000 times or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
She did that with their little magic spells where she's like, sure, you guys focus on a bunch of other ones. I focus on this one really hard.
Right. Yeah. And it's not even the flying one. Like, come on. What a boring magic spell to learn.
Yeah, I know. What else did I have this down for?
I mean, she's good at the broom fighting, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then everything she does is just, like, so intense.
Yeah. The vibes.
Right? Every interaction with her, it's like, oh, boy, I'm holding my breath right now.
Yes.
I'm never small talking with her, I don't think.
Which I think is why Nima's miscalculation is so important, right? When Nima walks past and she thinks she's just getting a sly little message where she's like, I saw you on the balcony, and she's like, ha, that's gonna really shake her up. And it's like, you don't understand the level of accusation that you just leveled at this woman. Like, she has to...
You can't...
She has to, like, grovel at the foot of the emperor immediately. Otherwise, her whole family will get massacred. Like, you can't... You can't do that.
You have no understanding of what words mean to this woman. There is no casual thing that can be done around her.
Correct. Correct. So one thing I want to understand about her and the dragon's whole vibe is, so she is able to basically buy her freedom by holding the dragon scale hostage, which is this like magic perfume that comes from a fungus deep in the forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not a renewable resource? Like, what? I don't understand how she can like steal a huge stockpile that they have and they can't just go get more.
So I think it is renewable, but over the long term, right?
Yeah.
And so I do feel like this threat loses its potency, like after I don't know how long, but for sure they've been collecting more, right? And so, like, I get that if these mushrooms or whatever they are grow really slowly, where it's like, you guys are not going to have enough if you harvest now to, like, cover yourselves for this year or next year even and stuff like that. It does feel like that can only last for so long, though.
Right. Because they're huge incentive to invest now. Right, like they are leaning into this heavily at this point.
Leaning into,
they've got to get more.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're investing in production or acquisition or, you know, something. They're getting more of this stuff, especially when. So, at the beginning, when Nima gets poisoned with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like that would set off huge alarm bells based on what we learn later in the book, no? Because it sounds like this stuff is so valuable and controlled that somebody having enough to poison Nima in her bath feels like, stop everything everyone's doing. We need to figure this out right now.
Right. And it seems like a lot of people know about this at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have pretty significant implications.
Feels like it would. But
that's why everyone's like, "Oh my god, Yana's alive," because this is the only thing that this could be.
Right. Right. Which it sounds like she's not going to be making an appearance, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Do you consider this having seen the body?
I am at the point now. I'll go on the record as saying I think we've seen the body.
Okay.
Now, I will say it would be pretty amazing if... What's her name? Brina?
Yeah, Benna, I think, actually.
Benna, yeah. If Benna was, like, bluffing this whole time, if she was like, actually, I squirreled her away in my basement and she's ready to make her comeback today, it'd be pretty cool.
I mean, the whole book, I feel like, has had the feel of that was going to be a twist at some point. Yeah. Not that specifically, but that Yana is still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm losing hope on that coming through.
Yeah.
But I still get that vibe somehow.
I also get the vibe, but I also think that her coming back alive feels like... It feels like it sort of ruins the big tension in the book, because it feels like the book gets established with this big tension. And if it turns out she's like, hey, I've actually been alive and kicking it for the whole time, it's like, oh, okay, then there wasn't actually... I mean, it was still a bad thing that happened, but it wasn't like a monstrous thing that happened in a way.
Yeah.
But... I will say, Luke, it sounds like this vision of the future has Ruko as the emperor for some reason in sort of a crazy psychosis.
That's correct.
You know what could do that to Ruko?
What are you thinking?
Yana coming back.
That's true. So you're keeping the spark alive.
Could there's a possibility
considering having seen the body. We saw a body.
Kind of, yeah, potentially. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it could be. That's true. It's a body, and I will also say this, it sounds like it was fairly decomposed when she cut the note off of it.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
So I'm saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Can we talk about the Emperor, the twist about the Emperor?
Yes. Which one? Because first, we kind of already talked about the fact that the Emperor had Gaeta killed.
Yes, not that one, but the reason why he had Gaeta killed is the twist that I want to start talking about.
Yeah.
Which is that this is actually not the original Emperor, but the Emperor's twin brother. Twin?
I don't think they're 5 years younger.
Yeah, you're right. Younger brother. I have a few notes about this.
Yeah.
Number one, so this plan was comes from the main advisor. I keep forgetting his name.
Like Veda, something like that.
Something like that. And so, okay, so what happens is during this coup attempt, right? Mm-hmm. The Emperor gets grievously injured, and as we know now, or suspect now, is killed or dies.
Yep.
And this guy's like, oh, we can't have this because it'll lead to a civil war, whatever, whatever. We need to have an Emperor, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so even though this is very immoral and that kind of thing, it's actually good for the Empire. So he does all these purges for people that would recognize the Emperor.
Presumably a lot of people, right?
Presumably a lot of people. And I just want to say, long story short, what I'm getting at. The main point of doing this whole thing, which is crazy, is because if the Emperor dies, then it spells really bad things for the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
So in their constitution, let's call it a constitution.
Yeah.
Is there not a plan for if the emperor dies in office? Because that has to have happened before. Luke, it's a 24-year term.
It's definitely happened before. I think to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here, I think the concern is the fact that he died in an attempted coup. And so now you have two factions potentially going to war with each other. Like you have one faction that supported Andren and the other faction that supported Barrison. And these two factions are going to have they're going to contest the throne.
Yeah.
They're going to contest the succession. Which, Luke, I feel like their constitution provides for this already, which is okay, you have a tournament now. Now you have a tournament, and then that's how you pick it. Like, you have every time. What are you doing?
Well, okay, so I get your logic here, but, the emperor was basically in bed. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And couldn't do anything for, let's say, a month.
Yeah.
If you're the people on the coup side and can do some, you're not waiting around to see if the emperor is going to live or not.
You're saying they're still doing the coup?
Yeah. I don't think that this changing it out to the brother later solves that problem.
Yeah. Well,
but to your actual point,
yeah,
you do the contender thing again, obvious. Either if there's not a vice president kind of situation, which there should be, as is obviously in our rules, we just have another quick competition. These only will take 7 days, so it should be actually faster than seeing if the emperor survives.
Let's get somebody in there. We got an empire.
And also, like, no one's putting a ton of thought into these challenges. So, like, we could whip these up quick.
We've got a whole list of them. Okay.
The challenges are who's nice to each other and like who like figures out what their strengths are that they can help the ox with in a few hours. I can in an exam. And then a little game? Come on, these are easy to set up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong, Luke. You're not wrong. I have a hot take in the other direction, though, Luke.
Okay.
Who cares that it's his brother? Why do we care? Why does that change anything?
Yeah, this is true.
Because Nima is like, wow, I've never actually served the real emperor before. And it's like, so what? Is he doing a good job? Like, do you notice that he's bad at being the emperor because he wasn't the one that passed the trials? No.
Right.
So who cares? Maybe we should actually scrap the whole trials thing because it seems like this guy is doing fine.
It does feel like at this point, like I can see this mattering early.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, that's crazy. And then it's like, well, what are you going to do?
Well, all right, time to elect somebody else.
He's leaving.
Well, Luke, it does sound like there is the potential here for him to call a rigged election and ask for a third term. He's building up a lot of military force around the island.
This is true.
So... Yeah. Concerning, Luke. But yeah, I just don't think it really matters that much. If I learned about this, I wouldn't be like, I gotta tell somebody. I'd be like, well, he'll be out of there in a minute.
I feel like I would be like, I gotta tell somebody, but more as a, isn't this crazy, you guys?
Yeah.
Then like a, we should do something about it.
For sure.
But a small thing actually.
Yeah.
So we learn about the purges, right? And mm-hmm. It was actually because these people would recognize the swap.
Yeah.
And so that means that Jan Rack, the head of the Ravens, was actually innocent.
Yeah.
And I will say, he still sucks, though.
And we're glad he's dead.
Because I think we do, I forget exactly what it said, but we did get to see his report on Nima.
Yeah.
And it was like just as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Not good.
Can't have him being the head of Raven.
Well, she has to destroy that before she exonerates him, right?
Yes, of course.
Which it sounds like she's done. So now she can be like, actually, he was a really cool guy. And he said I was the best student he'd ever taught. Isn't that crazy?
Better than Gaida, I know.
Damn. So anyway, Luke, I do also want to say here, there's a point where... it becomes clear that the Raven is actually extant. Like, there is a second guardian. They are real. And they, like, mm-hmm. are narrating and doing stuff.
Yeah.
If I am Nima, as soon as I get any inkling that these gods are real, my first thought is, like, so the knife can't have killed anybody then, right? Because if the...
Right. Well, doesn't she figure out that before she...
So she does before she has like an explicit encounter with the Raven. But she has been like ignoring the Raven's sort of entreaties for a month. Yeah. Like the
she
Raven...
She also has had a magic book for a while.
Correct. And the magic book is the thing that told her about the knife being world-ending.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like... Girl, maybe take a second and imagine that this is real. Anyway, that was the hint to me that I was like, something else is going on with this knife. This knife didn't kill this girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you, come on.
Come on.
I guess the Emperor really did put the right person in charge, you know, of this investigation.
That's true. That's true. Can we talk about the changes that have been made to the competition?
Yeah.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that because there's unrest in the rest of the in the rest of the nation,
yeah,
because of the upcoming like change in leadership, they have to make it go faster.
Mm-hmm.
Which have you, as you've pointed to, we have to ask some questions about why there's some unrest and what that actually means, and if the Emperor is telling the truth about everything.
Yeah.
But setting that aside for a second, so he's now like, all right, so we are going to have them on two per day. And also, you guys, this fighting is lame. We got to start killing each other, okay? And that means, like, in some of these fights, they don't end it when one of the contestants is unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, in what world is that not the end? He's like, okay, now you have to kill them. If you want to win the bout.
He's like, hey guys, things are getting real tense out there, so we got to turn the heat down a notch. So we're going to need you to murder each other in the ring, if you wouldn't mind. Because that's how we can really turn down the volume on this violent rhetoric that's going on.
What?
We also need to be less deliberate about the whole process. We need to not take our time, actually. We need to make it such that there can be a lot of questioning about the outcome because of how we're doing this whole thing.
Everyone just accepts all of these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
This is why I think the coup, all that needed to happen for the coup to be successful would be Andrin killing the Emperor and saying, I'm the Emperor now. Because I think that
people just go with it.
People are just
so
like,
easily.
Oh, well, yeah, he's the Emperor, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. This is true. It's just so strange because it's like, okay, he's like a lame duck at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
And all of the things that he's saying make no sense.
Correct.
Like, all right, we're not doing that, right? You guys looking around at like, cause like the people in charge of this are all the houses or whatever that we're calling it.
Sure. 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 Sure.
Just look around like, you guys. So he said that, but we're not like, we're just going to keep going as we normally would go. Right.
Look, they have to do it though. It doesn't matter if he's in severe cognitive decline and he's a lame duck, like his appointed ministers have to do what he says and they have to make it real. They have to make it happen. That's their job, Luke. Their job is to do whatever he says. So
it's true.
That's just how it is, I guess.
Fair enough. Mm. Fair enough.
Luke.
Okay.
I did promise another twist.
Yeah. I've got a small theory at the end here as well.
Okay. I'm going to hit you with mine first.
Yep.
There is another reason why we should be concerned about this Emperor, and that is the fact that they have a kid they're trying to elevate to the throne.
Ooh.
That's right. Barrison, or I guess Garrison? Was that his name?
I don't remember.
Something like that. Anyway.
It can't have been Garrison, was it?
The current Emperor has a kid who is one of the contenders.
Okay.
And they are trying to position them to be the next Emperor, to like take up their mantle. And this like explicitly violates the fifth rule, or one of the five rules. I think it's the fifth one, but one of the five rules about how this government works. And they're trying to manipulate things such that their son becomes the next emperor.
Okay.
Do you know who it is? Do you know who it is, Luke?
Are you saying it's worthy?
Luke, it's Kane.
Oh. Okay. I hear you.
Because, so Kane was, and this would have to be the, I think it would have to be the brother, right? Like the current emperor's kid, based on their ages, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe. Maybe it's the old emperor. Anyway, regardless, one of the two emperors, I can't do the math right now in my head which one it would have to be for Kane to be the kid, because he would have been born. Anyway, point is, Luke, it's Kane. Kane, we never see a dad for Kane. Dad never in the picture.
Yeah.
Mom sells him off to scrappers. Kane has a miraculous rise. Not to say that he is not skilled in his own right. But Kane seems to be in a very strong position to get the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people seem to want to help Kane to do that. Including Nima.
Okay.
For some reason. If I'm Nima, Kane would not be a good emperor, right? Like, if we're being real, if we're being honest about Kane's, like, abilities, I don't think, like, leadership is one of them.
Well, and more just, like, what do you want to do in this position?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I think that the emperor's kid is Kane, and that's what the big... I don't think the emperor is going to try and continue being the emperor. I think they're going to be trying to set up their offspring as the next emperor.
Okay. I'm here for that. I do feel like in these kinds of stories, whenever you hear someone with like a who's had a miraculous rise and don't know who their parents are.
Yeah.
It's
a real Star Wars story.
A real Star Wars story. It's always an option.
Yep.
For sure.
One, you got to see a body. Two, you got to see a dad.
Who's that dad?
Who's that dad?
That's a good point. I'm here for that. Okay. Yeah.
Luke,
can I tell you my little theory?
I'm excited for a Luke theory.
I feel like this one's kind of obvious. So there is... I think it's the last chapter that we read for this section.
Mm-hmm.
The Benna is in the dungeons.
Yep.
And there's one other person in there.
Who is it, Luke?
And it's an old man.
Yep.
Who they say has been there for a really long time.
Yep.
Gotta be the OG Emperor, right?
Luke, I will say it's either the OG Emperor or Valet. Andrin Valet.
Okay, yes, one of those two for sure.
It has to be one of those two people. And considering this, the OG Emperor was my original thought, but who would make Ruko go crazier?
Oh, because you're thinking back to the
prophecy is that when he becomes emperor, he goes kind of crazy and brings about the Guardians.
Yeah, he definitely would not go crazy over the OG Emperor.
I don't think so. But if his dad is in the jail?
Yeah.
I think it might
be. I thought that we saw a body for his dad, though.
Did we?
I kind of forget.
They talked about it being there, but I don't remember if we saw a body.
Not 100% sure. I feel like we did. So I'm sticking with my theory of the OG Emperor.
But then, like, why would they get the brother?
That one would be a better twist, though. I don't know why they would go to the brother. Other than, like, OG Emperor does not quite fit what's his name wants.
Yeah, you're right. That could be it. Yeah. Like, sort of the power.
Of a worm tongue kind of situation.
Yeah, the power behind the throne kind of deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. We'll see, though. I think it's got to be one of those two. Guaranteed.
Got to be one of those two. There could be nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no other old men in this story for us to know about, so it has to be Or Luke, the only other old man in the story that it could be, Yasila's dad.
Oh yeah, sure.
He'd be very old at this point, but
he'd be pretty old.
Could be.
I don't know what that twist would really bring us, but I like it as an option.
Yep,
keeping it alive. Okay.
So anyway, keep those in mind. One of those three. Luke, we're gonna find out. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Next episode. We're gonna be finishing the book next week. We'll be bringing the hot takes
and being dumb nerds.